Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a blessed Wednesday. You may be at your local church tonight, and amen on that. Maybe doing a Bible study. Maybe hearing a preaching or a singing. I'm still working on Psalms, too. Wanting to do a whole sermon series on Psalms. Got one, and then you guys can follow that from last. I broke that up in two parts, and then I did a Bible study on it. And this one, I don't know, I might have to break it off in three parts. A lot of wealth of information in that Psalm. More than what I could imagine, so it's a learning experience for me too, so you guys bear with me. So tonight, what I want to preach on is, or what the Holy Spirit has led in my heart to preach on, is persecution and suffering. And we'll be in 1 Peter 4, verse 1 through 2. That is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. It goes like this: For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, for me to speak the word that you have laid on my heart tonight. I know it's not popular. You haven't called me to be popular. I know many people don't follow my website. It's just what it is. But I know what you have laid on my heart for whatever reason to do this website. And I know your will be done through this if it's just even reaching one person. I don't know. I just obey. Tonight I pray that you just be with me as we go through this. That you guide and you direct this sermon. That your spirit is felt to whoever is listening to this podcast. We know the pain and the suffering of this lifetime can be a lot. But we know in the end, if we are children of God, the pain is only temporary. The suffering is only temporary. Because one day it will be all over. Lord, I pray you just once again be with this message and those who are listening. In your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. You know, I keep track of a lot of our persecuted brothers and sisters. A few websites that I like to visit is Open Doors USA. And my, probably my go-to is SaveThePersecutedChristian.org. That's when I really visit. I'm always praying over our brothers and sisters that are suffering a high level of persecution in those countries like China, Iran, Russia. If you really look at the stats for that, 215 million Christians have faced high levels of persecution. And when I say high levels, I mean rape, death, physical violence, and imprisonment in the name of Christ. We are very comfortable here in America. God has blessed America more than what we can imagine. And then really I scratch my head thinking about how America thumbs her nose up to God. They want to take God out of everything. Started with the schools. It all kind of trampled downhill from there. Took God out of the business model. And God is being removed from the government. When a nation does that, God removes his hand of protection from that nation. I don't really know if we're too far gone, to be honest with you. But I want to prepare you guys tonight with a mindset to be able to embrace the persecution and the suffering that we may have to experience here in America. I believe majority of American churches are not prepared for this. They're not prepared for a level of persecution and suffering that we see in those other countries like China. They're being starved to death, being beaten like Iran. Just look. You will see our brothers and sisters suffering so greatly for the name of Christ. You will see how China is just... I read a lot of stories about China and the Christians and the underground church and how their fire and passion for the Word of God. I was reading one story one time. This missionary went over there and he was going to only preach for an hour. But hour wasn't enough. They wanted him to preach all day and all night. There was such a hunger for God and a man of God with the Word of God and not this garbage that these popular preachers that are pop psychologists or pop motivators that are attracting millions of people that will label themselves as Christian and they couldn't even tell you why or how or what it means to truly be a follower of Jesus. You see, persecution and suffering, these are not new concepts. I did not make them up. It is one of many key concepts in the Bible that is intertwined within the words of our in the Holy Scripture. But you will not hear from the pulpit many sermons preaching on suffering. It's not rocket science, guys. No, it does not sell, especially here in America. Do you expect to make your millions? Steve Furtick, Joel Osteen, John Hagee. You can't make your money preaching the truth of the gospel like they do. And there are $1 million mansions and luxury vehicles. And they said, this is what it means to be a Christian. Show me in the Bible where Paul and Peter, John, they had a physical mansion with nice sports cars. Wake up, these harlots, these ears pleasers. This progressive Christianity, this social gospel is not the gospel of the Bible. And the sad truth is most American Christians buy into this. And because they buy into this tells me they are not truly in tune with the Word of God. I don't know about their salvation, but I know how the Holy Spirit operates. The Holy Spirit will guide and will direct to that to them, the spirit of truth. So why are they not seeing the truth? Good question, right? Why, true children of God and men like me, we stand on the truth. We're looked down on. We are wrong for preaching the whole counsel of God. Names that I have personally been called is sad. And I'm not even that popular. But I embrace my calling. I embrace the loneliness if it's needed. I embrace the pain. I embrace the suffering. It may increase. I embrace it all. The question is, are you today willing to embrace that? First Peter, that first verse. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Let's just look at that piece there. What is Peter speaking of here? He's speaking of Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world and who experienced the pain of this world. He felt hunger. He got thirsty. He was tested. He was tried. And through all this, Jesus sinned not. Guess what? Steve Furtick teaches that Jesus sinned. So if you're following Stephen Furtick today, you need to do some searching. Did Jesus sin? Well, you're following Steve Furtick, so you agree that he sinned. If you say that he sinned, the crucifixion was useless. He was not the Son of God. Don't think people have that mindset, meaning he sinned so they can look at it as Jesus was not the Son of God. He was tested and tried in every way. He sinned not. He did not let the flesh win like we do. You can follow this all the way to his death and his crucifixion, right? And I know you look at, like me, when you look at it, he said, Jesus is the Son of God, and God is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is God and Jesus, and they are three in one, right? That's hard to grasp. But he is God. I am not. He is infinite. I am finite. He is all knowing. I barely know anything. I'm just a poor country boy with a passion for Jesus. I think one of the books I was reading probably gave one of the better explanation of the Trinity, and the Trinity is biblical. Said the God's whole essence, belonging undividedly, simultaneously, and fully to each persons of the Godhead. I know it's still kind of confusing. Jesus was, or Jesus is, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus living inside of us, a essence, undivided. Simultaneously, fully. They're all three are one. But we have to take it a step farther than that. I know it's hard to grasp. Jesus was human. He felt pain. He felt suffering. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was in so much pain and stress. Blood came from his eyes. And I truly believe that was a rare medical condition called pemphigia, where the capillaries would burst. Some will say that's a figure of speech. It could be. But I believe personally at that time, he really understood exactly what he was going through, was going to go through. That's when he prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup of pain, this suffering, pass from me. I don't believe any of us will ever experience that level of stress, anxiety. the brutality of his death. And he had to do it alone. He is the sinless, blameless Lamb of God. He had to be mocked. He had to be beaten. He had to be scourged, tormented. He had to experience nails piercing his hands and drove through his feet and lifted up on that cross to die. One writer described his crucifixion as being drowned, meaning when he was on that cross, he was being suffocated, meaning he could not catch his breath. Every time he tried to lift himself up, the pain of the nails in his hands and his feet would create so much pain, he would drop back down and start suffocating again. And he had to take the sin of the whole world on that cross. That's the present, the past, and the future. He was the ultimate atonement for you and me and for us. And he looked down on those that had beaten him, that tortured him, that were killing him. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He had to taste of that bitterness. He had to endure for that atonement through the blood, the precious blood of Jesus had to be spilled for you and me, where we can come where we're at right now and have that relationship with Him. Thank God for that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that resides in us. See, the Holy Spirit was not in those in the Old Testament. But when Christ died, He said, I will send my Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. We have a comfort. Let's get out of the way of our own pity. Let's recognize who we are. We are children of God. We have the Holy Spirit in our life if we are truly a child of God. And that Holy Spirit will comfort you in your time of need. Quit trying to comfort yourself. We can't do it. I love worship. There's a song by Jeremy Camp. It goes like this. In only a moment, truth was seen. Revealed in this mystery. The crown that showed no dignity he wore. The king was placed for all the world to show disgrace. But only beauty flow from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Would you today, if you could, take the place of Jesus Christ? But the sad truth is most of can't even get the energy to make it to a Sunday disciple training. Oh, I gotta wake up a little bit early. Oh, I've heard it all over. I don't want to hear it no more. I'm not learning anything. If you're not learning anything, it's because you are in the way. Oh, I'll make it to the service if I can. Wednesday, Sunday night studies, I'm good. All the football games on, the baseball games on, the hockey games on, my child's having a birthday party. Oh, there's a baseball game I have to attend, 4-H, whatever it is. If you put that in front of God, that is your idol. And then you believe that you can be a child of God with that attitude, with that direction, without no grieving from the Holy Spirit. You better check yourself. Sad truth, Moses can't even wake up a little bit early in the morning to pray in devotional time. What is 15 minutes? What are 20 minutes to sit there and worship and travail over the Word of God and seeking His face for the morning? Oh, how many would do this? Praying for those. Praying for your pastors. Praying for your churches. Praying for America. Praying for the missionaries. praying for a heart of God, praying to walk more in the spirit, less in the flesh. Your average professing Christian is bored with Jesus. They're like, same sermon, same message, same thought, same process. He's going to tell us about Jesus, how he died and rose. Oh, I'm bored. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This process is why America is falling from God. The biblical truth that made it great. God is about done with America. And a level of persecution may hit America that will rattle it. And you're a corn and wine. And so, why, God, why? Why you're putting these heretics on platforms like the Hillsong pastors, Joel Osteen, John Hagee, Ben E. Hinn, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer, Steve Furtick, Clifford Dollar. I could keep on going on. Kenneth Colin, Paula White, the list goes on and on. Spouting their garbage, right? They're going to remain popular. Because they're teaching lies. And people are flocking to them by the millions. Wide is the way, right? Matthew 7. That leads to destruction. Jesus says many will go that way. Many will follow these heretics. Even though we're proclaiming, I'm not the only one out there. Quit following these guys. Quit giving your money to these guys. There are other people that deserve your money more than them. They are truly trying to stand for the word of God. Narrow is the way. Few will find it, guys. One path to hell, the wide, and the other path to heaven. Not my words. Jesus speaks of those. And what we're doing, we're living in the last days. So these guys are popular. This social gospel, this progressive Christianity, this I can sin and still be okay. Matthew 24:37-39 says this, but as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in a marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And then not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do we get what Jesus is telling us here? Go back to Genesis. Why do we want to leave out Genesis? Look at the people in the days of Noah or Noe. They did not care to hear the message of this righteous man Noah preaching for them. Some believe 100+ years. Some may believe it might have been less. But regardless, he preached for a long time. And you can keep reading Genesis where every thought that was running through their mind was wicked continuously. He preached and preached. Only 8 were saved. The rest perished in the flood. Could you imagine you're just relaxing, right, doing whatever you feel good? You know, it's kind of like today. Yeah, I feel good. I want to do this right. And nobody cares. I can have sex without marriage, you know. Homosexuality, who cares? Men should love each other if they love a man or an animal, whatever. Age is fluent. Pedophilia is okay. What if they're 6, whatever? You're 40. Love's love, right? Then a drop of rain. Then another drop of rain. And downpour the judgment of God on that world. And they remember that man Noah. Oh, that crazy madman over there. Warning all those years. He was right. Let's run to the ark. But guess what? The door is closed. Just think about that. Ponder that. They choose not to listen. It was too late. They had many years to repent and turn from their wicked ways. Could you imagine water just falling down on you and it was a global flood? I don't care what the education system says. It flooded the whole world. There was no dry land. So you're in that water, right? Pedaling or whatever. And you just... feet give out. Legs give out. Slowly drift to the bottom. Maybe you were able to claw at the ark a little bit and try to climb up on those walls, but you couldn't. And you slipped. The days of Noah. In Matthew 24:39 says, "And then not until the flood came, took them all away." And some would say that number was millions perished. "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The Son of Jesus. I mean the Son of God, Jesus, right? You can take this as a madman on a podcast, or you can take it to heart. Times are getting close. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says this, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned and shall be turned unto fables." 2018, Joel Osteen has 10 million viewers, several more in over 100 countries weekly. That is week 10 million. His network is 40 million. This is what Joel Osteen teaches. And it's no mystery. You can look it up. He probably even sees the critique and how he's not preaching. And the people, this is an internet-driven, knowledge-based world. Don't tell me all those people are not hearing us saying this man is a heretic. I refuse to believe that. He does not believe in preaching on hell. He believes there are multiple ways to God. He does not believe in preaching on sin. You don't need to stress. You already got too much to worry about. He believes that you can have your best life, material-wise, money, in this life, because God wants your best life now, meaning you should have millions of dollars in your bank account, in that nice house, that Mercedes Benz, and that yacht, and over 2 million followers in America follows this guy, Steve Furtick. You may have heard of him. His weekly church attendance is 25,317. He agrees with a lot what Joel Osteen teaches. He also teaches even more false truths. One that really gets me, that grieves my heart, and I hit on it a little bit. He believes Jesus sinned. And many people support him. His network is $55 million. Why would somebody need that much money? Just amazing. And I could go on and on. In the last days, time will come that they, the people of this world, and a lot of them are professing Christianity, will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure that sin, that Jesus was sinless and blameless lamb that had to die on the cross for atonement for our sin. They will instead believe that he had flaws. They will not believe that the only way to Jesus is through the Father. Right? God, no other way. That is scriptural. Sin is sin. It breaks God's heart. It rips it to apart. Do we get it? Do we get what sin is? Why do we gloss over the concept of sin? It put Jesus on that cross. We couldn't bear it. We couldn't have done it. He had to do it for us. Romans 1:19. Let me flip to it. Romans 1:19-32 says this. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, from the creation, the beginning. We go to Genesis, right? And clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead. And when you're speaking of the Godhead, I just mentioned just a little bit ago, maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, that is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They all are one, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Vain in their imagination, same word used in Genesis, and they were doing everything in their imagination. We're like that in America today. We were doing everything that we feel that is good, and it said, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the uncorruptible man, to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between them. He changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiping, serving the creature more than the creator. He who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection. He said, you want it? There it is. Take it. For even their women did change the natural use into what which is against nature. Getting real, right? And likewise also the man leaving the natural use of one, burning their lust one toward another, man with man. Working that which is unseemly, receiving himself that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God to their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. They're against God, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignness, whisperers, bite-biters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet-breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the truth of God, that they which committed such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Take a sip of water here. Do you think we're getting close, guys? I believe we are. Everything is setting up for the Antichrist to step in place. For the one world government and one world religion to step in place. Believe it or not, everything is there. Time is getting close, regardless of your pre, mid, post-trib. We should agree on that, right? Revelations 1:19-32, just look at it. You can slap America right on there. As the time is getting close, we need to arm ourselves. Peter continues here. In the last part of that verse, it says, arm yourself likeness with the same mind. This is intense, right? Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Peter is telling us in the influence that of the Holy Spirit to arm ourselves with the same mind that Christ armed himself when he was going to face that cross. We are supposed to embrace the suffering for the name of Jesus. This is not unbiblical. I am providing scriptures. I'll provide another one, but you can see it all through the Bible. Philippians 3, 5 through 11. Circumcised the 8th day. The stock of Israel on the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews is touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Teaching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made comfortable unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What is Paul saying here? Nothing in this life matters except Jesus. Is that your focus? Look at your life. What is most important in your life right now? There is nothing that should be more important than Jesus and that passion, that fire, that will to walk out to that world and to give that word to those who need it. A hope in a time where the world is going hopeless. See, Paul, smart guy. Hebrews of Hebrews, touching the law, stock of Israel. He counted all but dung, crap, worthless, stinky. You may have those nice degrees. I got some of those. I like to learn, but don't take over the Holy Spirit that's in my life. It don't take over the Word of God. I don't elevate myself above the Bible. I humble myself before a holy God. I don't care if you have a nice job and career. Can you give it all up if you have to? In the name of Jesus Christ. You may have that American dream. But is Jesus your first love? If not, you're most miserable. I don't care who you call yourself. A Christian, you can call yourself that. Till you're blue in the face. All this stuff does not matter. It is dung. It's excrement. It is worthless. It's nothing. Without Jesus. Is that passion, that fire to reach others, no matter what the cost is? Is your life more seeking the pleasure of man or God? Are you seeking a life of comfort? Then Christianity is not for you. Whoever lied to you, well, many are lying. To be a Christian is not a comfortable life. We have comforts, and we're blessed to have comforts where we're not suffering. I'll say blessed, but how we define blessing is another issue. Jesus said, "Blessed are you that when people persecute you." Jesus seen blessing, how we will look at blessing totally different. That's just something we have Americanized and corrupt. We should seek a life uncomfortable. Suffering for the honor of Jesus Christ. To suffer is to find that heart of Jesus. To suffer is to get a glimpse of the crucifixion. You see, Paul was in prison, beaten several times, shipwrecked, and he counted all, everything else, dung. He embraced the imprisonment. He embraced the beatings, the shipwreck. He didn't have to take that path. He chose it. He rejoiced in the fellowship of his suffering for Christ. That's what he says here. Paul and Peter and the others were unstoppable. If we were like that, if we had that mindset, we would be unstoppable today in America. The government could do nothing to us. They could throw us in jail, but it wouldn't matter. We will still praise Jesus. They could beat us till we can't move, but we will rejoice in the suffering. They may kill us and others around, say, glory be to God, they got to go home. Now I'm going to step in, and I'm going to take the mantle, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Be unstoppable. That's how you start a revival, not these little revivals they got around that makes me sick to the stomach. There's more life in that. There's more life in the cemetery in that revival. You cannot do nothing. Nothing to a man or a woman that embraced suffering and persecution as an honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about true persecution, right? And we may experience that in America as the Roman government and the religious system during that time. Paul and Peter, they couldn't stop them. The Jesus movement kept moving one after the other. We have to embrace the suffering and the persecution, even if it is the point to death. And I don't know how bad it will get in America. I believe it's going to get pretty bad. I think it needs to get that bad because America has lost her way. And the only way that America truly will experience revival, a true revival, not these little revivals they have around. I've been to them, they're jokes. Half-hearted conversions, half-truths, not preaching the whole counsel of God. But they're, 100 people were converted. Yeah, you may have one or two that truly were converted. Because you're not studying the Bible. You're not called to be in that pulpit. You're a man chosen by your congregation because they like you. Maybe the way you speak. Maybe the way what you wear, way you look. Not the words coming out of your mouth in a sense that is reflecting the gospel. Other than it's a compromised gospel that they want to hear. Like the Joel Osteens. And the Steve Furtex that got millions and millions of followers. They're following a man. They're not following God. If they truly were following Jesus, they would. Their eyes would be clearly opened. You see, Peter, at the beginning of this sermon, was right on. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with that same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You see, when we suffer, when we, for the name of Christ, we get closer to Jesus. We start understanding the pain. We start understanding the cost. In that point in time, we should already have counted the cost, but many have not, and that's sad. Many has not counted the cost. And that's why you hear, and you hear many more, that would they would say, I'm walking from the faith. I would say they were never in the faith from the get-go, because the Holy Spirit is strong and powerful, and it will keep a person. It will correct them. It will scourge them. I do not support a license to sin. I do not support dirty grace. I believe when the Holy Spirit is in a person, that's powerful. The blood of Jesus is powerful. And when you are a child of God, the scourging, if you guys ever look at scourging, that's painful. When somebody's sinning, are they really having a scourging going on? Are they really happy? It's a really good indication there truly was not a conversion. In closing, think of our brothers and sisters, 215 million Christians suffering greatly for the name of Christ, being persecuted for their faith, that's including death, rape, forced marriage, and physical violence and imprisonment. But they rejoice in the opportunity to suffer for their faith. You can go to the Open Doors USA or Save the Persecuted Christian.org. Many stories there. You may be like, no, I'm not checking any of this out. I am going to quit following this podcast because he just hurt my feelings. And trust me, I know I do, because I'll get a high volume of people on this website, and then next week I barely have any. But the thing is, this is what tells me. They heard something. At least they heard the truth, and they made that choice, as, you know, as the days of Noah, right? Noah preached righteousness among the world. They did not care. They wanted to celebrate their wickedness, and today people want to slap that Christianity title on them and still live like the world don't work that way. It is against the Bible. They heard the message. They ignored the message. Many will hear this message and they will ignore the message. Just a crazy old man preaching, just like Noah preaching. But when that rain came, that flood hit that earth, it was global. The party stopped. That could be a theme for the America theme. When God comes back, the party will stop. The party of glorifying sin. Sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, same-sex marriage, legalizing it. Kids can't even decide if they're male or females, right? Marry your kids, marry your pets. Every imagination, right, was wicked, as the days of Noah will be the same days of the coming of Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. The second coming will be fire and brimstone. It will destroy this world. And just not me, other men of God out there proclaiming the truth. It's going to get real. But that point, all you guys that harp these false teachers, these false preachers like Joel Osteen, Steen Furtek, will be screaming. Now you will see the error of your ways, but it's too late. You chose that wide path that leads to destruction. You call yourself by name Christian only. You wanted this world. You wanted your sin. You wanted to keep doing what you're doing. Well, you don't get heaven, you get hell. Because that is the wide way. The narrow, the straight path leads straight to heaven. And that tells us we have to be different from this world. We cannot conform to this world. As a child of God, we are separate from this world. We don't seek men that please our ears. We want men of God preaching against sin. We want men of God preaching on hell. We want men of God preaching on a life that may be filled with suffering, but glory be to God, because that's the heart of Jesus. When we suffer, let us rejoice. If they throw us in prison or put us in jail, rejoice. If they beat us till we can't move, rejoice. If they starve us to death, rejoice. They can't do nothing with men of God like that. I pray tonight that you kind of get the theme of this sermon. We may have to suffer. We may have to experience persecution in America that will drive us to our knees. But it's okay. But if you're following this progressive social gospel that is popular, I believe these messages, just not mine, but others, will get out there. You will hear them. You will make a decision on to listen or not to. And as the days of Noah will be like the son of man, only 8 were saved out of, most people will put there was 1 million maybe or more that were living at that time. Only 8. Trust me, there are a lot of people thinking they're going to heaven. They're not. There will be more people in hell than heaven. If you have any questions on this sermon tonight, you can hit me up on this website. Send me a message. You can hit me on Facebook. MeWe. If you have any doubts, if you're a child of God, I have done quite a few sermons on salvation. I provide all scripture. I don't try to give my opinion when it comes to salvation. You make that decision, right? Are you prepared to experience or a cost for calling yourself a Christian? Is your heart right? Do you know without a doubt that you are a child of God? And wherever comes your way, you will embrace it for the name of Christ. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.